I do buy a lot of things to sabotage my sister. You know those rubber chickens that you squeeze and then it like screams? So sure, yeah. I bought her daughter that for her birthday, and the goal was that whenever she gets mad, she'll squeeze the chicken nonstop to annoy her mom. And it totally worked. Her mom sent me videos of her just squeezing the chicken.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of E-commerce Unscripted. This is the podcast where we help you achieve WooCommerce mastery. My name is Sam Greenspan. I am the host, and today I am joined by two fantastic panelists coming to you all the way from near Montreal, Quebec, Canada, Ryan Frizzell. Ryan, will you introduce yourself, please?
Hi, everyone. I'm up here. It's snowing here today, so and it should be spring. So that's a lovely part about living in Canada.
But unlimited Brian Adams. So it's the trade-off that you're willing to make. And coming to you from the Phoenix, Arizona area, Christine Fu.
Hello, I'm Christine, and I've been with Skyverge, now GoDaddy, for about 7 months now. And I've been working in the e-commerce space on and off for a few years before being here.
And they are both here to lend their expertise to today's topic, conversion rate. We'll define conversion rate first off. That is the percentage of visitors who come to your site who wind up making a purchase. While we don't like to play favorites, this may just be the most important metric for WooCommerce stores. After all, at the end of the day, they exist to sell things. And if a store is selling things, that means its conversion rate is good. However, conversion rate is not an easy thing to master. Even if you do everything right, your site is perfect, your language is perfect, your photographs are perfect, the benchmark you're going to see is probably right around a 2% conversion rate. So if that's when you're doing everything perfect, imagine what it's like when you're not doing everything perfect. And that's what we're going to try to help you with today. Both how to improve the conversion rate on your site to make the improvements you need, and what to look for in your conversion rate and the conversion rate for the stores you make for your clients in order to optimize it and do it better. So we're going to start with just a few questions talking about a little bit about conversion rate and get some stats over to you as well. What's your biggest pet peeve on an e-commerce site that just makes you say, nope, and leave for another site?
Probably errors or user interface issues combined with badly designed sites. Yeah, that would make me leave a site if I could find that product somewhere else.
And that will you go and look for that product somewhere else, or will you just say, this isn't meant to be, and just move on entirely?
It depends how much I want the product. I could just leave and be like, it wasn't meant to be, or I could just, I'll just find it somewhere else.
Yeah, if I get the sense that I'm something about the checkout is not secure or not normal, like if I don't see a HTTPS, if I don't see an SSL certificate on the checkout page, that's a big red flag for me. The other thing that I personally don't like, and maybe we'll have a chance to talk about it, is obvious tactics that try and manipulate me into completing my purchase. I'm going to call a few things out here. Timers that like are timing down, or little pop-ups that say somebody else purchased this product. Those types of things, while I know in some cases they are really successful for shops, for me, I decide to take my business elsewhere because I feel like I'm being manipulated.
I do not like those. When I'm on a site, and maybe we're too close to this, but I know this site is not doing like a sale every 3 seconds, but it has that little pop-up that says like some name from some city just purchased this product. And I just know that's not happening. And yeah, that one feels unnecessarily deceptive to me.
Those bug me also. I especially notice them on like hospitality sites where it always, when you're looking at a hotel and there's like a pop-up, they're like, somebody just booked this. And is that many people really booking that hotel?
Yeah, the false sense of scarcity is such a turnoff to me.
Yeah, that now that you mentioned those, actually, I've definitely been manipulated by those. Yeah.
I have too, but I just still don't like them. I question them, but they still work.
Yeah, I guess I do fall victim to the scarcity thing. It's funny, like on hotel booking in particular, even though you're absolutely right. I know if I'm searching for something obscure, like we're going to visit my wife's family up in northern Michigan in off season. And I know that people are not just, there's not a mad dash for the hotel rooms up there when I'm looking for them. But I still feel like maybe there's a mad dash for these hotel rooms. Like,
right. And then you get there and it's almost empty.
These are things that are turnoffs to me. I'll share a stat with you. Of course, this is one of the more commonly thrown around stats when it comes to e-commerce, but roughly 70% of all carts are abandoned. So that means that lots of people see something or have something happen throughout the process of checking out where they decide, nah, I'm not going to do this. Or perhaps earlier in the process, maybe they were just browsing, maybe something else turned them off. But that's a lot of different ways that you can drive someone off of your site. All right, next question. So product reviews have been proven to make a big difference in conversion. Do you leave product reviews?
Almost never. It would have to be a very exceptional product for me to decide to leave a review. And perhaps in the case of some kind of smaller business or someone that I know is just getting started, I would be more inclined to leave a review to give them that support. But Amazon reviews, I don't think I've ever left one. But I do use them a lot. I definitely use them to gauge whether or not a product is good and trustworthy. So I'm a huge proponent of looking at reviews, but I don't contribute to them.
Yes. And Christine, what about you? Do you leave product reviews?
Sometimes, and I prefer to do it anonymously. And it also depends on the product and how strongly I feel about it. Yeah, there's a lot of components to why I would leave a review.
By strongly, does that mean you're leaving like only basically 5-star or 1-star reviews? Or do you occasionally have a product where you're like, this is like a perfectly average product, 3-star?
It's usually when I feel negatively about something. And so my reviews are usually in the form of feedback, except if it comes to like hotels, then it's more like, oh yeah, this was average.
Ryan, in your experience with these reviews that you so love but do not contribute to in the least, do you find yourself more swayed by those good reviews or by bad reviews? Or are you just trying to take the sort of holistic look at what people are saying?
Yeah, that's a great question. I definitely take the overall. I look at both the extremes. So I look at the good reviews and I look at the very bad reviews. But I always give the benefit of the doubt there, especially when it comes to the bad reviews, because I know that it could be an unrelated issue that could have led someone to leave a bad review. So I am looking for, if there's a lot of bad reviews and there's a trend, that's going to be a red flag for me. But if there's just a handful of them and they're not particularly related to an issue that I expect that I'll be having, I'll proceed with the purchase of the product.
I am a full-on immediately filter by 1-star and read all of the bad reviews person. Like I have to know. I've got to see why. But like you said, maybe it's people complaining about the most ridiculous unrelated things, or maybe every single person says, if you buy this set of headphones, they will crumble into dust in your hands within 3 weeks. And like that, there's a big difference in those types of 1-star reviews. Stat for you, 92% of people say they will hesitate to buy a product if it has no reviews. Even one review can lead to an 18% increase in sales. 5 reviews can increase the likelihood someone will buy it by 270%. So that's just how valuable product reviews can be when it comes to getting conversions on a website. All right, next question. What feature on an e-commerce site do you love so much that it makes you more likely to purchase?
I think if they have those trust icons on the site, if it's, I don't know like the formal term for it, those little trust icons that tells you your payment is secure.
I think trust icons is a perfectly formal enough term for it. I think everyone will know what you're talking about.
And also like a really good checkout flow where it doesn't ask me for too much information if I just want to buy the item.
This is probably like a little bit of a cheater answer, but it's email marketing for me, really. If I can think about the one thing that really has driven me to make more purchases than I would have otherwise, it's when I've signed up for this, for the form and for the mailing list. And now I do check those promotional emails, especially about from my favorite brands. I want to know when they're having sales. Yeah, for sure. I've gotten emails that have said, okay, like we've got this promotion happening or check out this new product. And that's directed me to the site. I've bought something that I otherwise wouldn't have done.
For me, it's a very well-designed credit card input form just does it for me. I don't know why, but just something about like a really, really nice looking place where you type in your credit card. Maybe it automatically advances the cursor after you type in each of the sets of 4 digits. Then it moves you over to the expiration. There's something about a really nice credit card form that just instills me with so much trust in the site that it makes me more likely to use it. Like a bad credit card form is a real turnoff to me. So it's my weird little feature that just works for me as a customer.
Oh, that's interesting. I wonder if it's a comforting thing, because that's like maybe one of the riskiest part of shopping online, giving them your credit card information.
Yeah, I mean, it could be like you look for the trust icons, and I am swayed by something much, much more superficial in a gorgeous this credit card for. Yeah, maybe there's also like a level of attention to detail and care that goes into that. It's been a really well thought out process if they have something like that on the site. Mm. So that sort of instills confidence for me in like the quality in general of what I can expect from the brand. Or maybe, yeah, I'm like, whoa, these people are really good at CSS. Like, I should really buy from them because that is super cool.
Do you want to enter your credit card in, or would you prefer to just have it saved and you just click and away it go and you're done checkout?
Yeah, I sometimes will do like a PayPal checkout if I just want to get through it quicker. But, and this is the weirdest thing. I have this website, this old website, and I'm still getting ad revenue from it. That's still going into this checking account. It's the only like non-shared checking account that I have with my wife. And my PayPal is tied to that account. So if I'm buying something and I want it to come out of my website ad revenue, I'll use PayPal. But if I think this should come out of our joint banking account, then I'll put in my credit card. Like, which is such a ridiculous way to like go about how to like pay on a website. But that's the entirety of my thought process of when I pay with one method or another. But I've never used Apple Pay or Amazon Pay. I don't know. Do you use those? Or are you mostly entering the credit card?
Yeah, no. The only one where I do have that sort of one-click checkout thing is when I am buying something from Amazon. But with any other site, I am entering my credit card, though I do appreciate that my Chrome has saved my payment details and will quickly auto fill it in. So I don't need to worry about that every time. If that doesn't happen, I'm frustrated.
Christy, do you use those quick payment shortcuts?
I don't. And I intentionally don't because I don't want to make it easier for me to buy things. So I intentionally put barriers in place for me to not buy things.
That's actually pretty smart too. Yeah, I should do that. Instead of using PayPal just when there's something that I don't want to have to explain, it seems like there are better approaches to this. Yeah, so features that other people look for, not that our opinions aren't valid, but that the studies have found that other people are looking for, are the most loved features. Number one, usability and functionality of an e-commerce site. Number two, the visual content. Number three, written content. And number four, the overall design. And the top reasons for abandonment, we've talked about these a million times over the years. The number one by far is extra costs or unexpected costs when you're checking out. Number two is being forced to create an account. Number three is a long checkout process. And number four is if the site seems untrustworthy. So that's something that plays more of a role for us. Perhaps we've all been more burned by that than the average person. I certainly have. I once bought glasses from eyeglasses, not cups, from this website. And I never got them. And I sent all these complaints. And then I read an article months later that their business model was to just take people's money and not send it these products to get publicity. You could tell this was like at least a decade ago and still burning me inside. So like perhaps that is why I need like a higher standard of trust for e-commerce sites. If I can find links to those articles, I'll put them in our show notes, because it is a fascinating business model. It's one that seems just beyond doomed to fail.
So what happened? Did it work?
Never got the, I don't know. They got articles written about them. And so I guess if the end game was that. All right. We'll be back after this to talk about some strategies for improving the conversion rate on your site.
Building an amazing e-commerce site doesn't have to be complicated. Delight your clients with hosting from GoDaddy and take advantage of our streamlined setup, built-in SSL certificate, daily backups, and nearly $6,000 worth of included extensions to get online and selling fast, all for under $20 per month. Visit GoDaddy.com to learn more.
And we are back talking about conversion rate and how to improve conversion rate on WooCommerce sites. We're going to cover some strategies here. We'll start with some basic ones, then move into more intermediate and advanced options. To improve your conversion rate, first step is to figure out your conversion rate. And Ryan, I thought maybe you could talk a little bit about using Google Analytics or the WooCommerce extension Google Analytics Pro in order to do that. Because I know you gave an entire talk on this 2 weeks ago and I was there. So that's why I'm calling it.
Yeah, sure. Google Analytics. You actually don't need Google Analytics Pro necessarily just to get your conversion rate. You can use any Google Analytics option that has e-commerce tracking enabled. If you do go with Google Analytics Pro, you're getting extra features. You're getting checkout steps behavior. You're getting product impressions within a list and product impression data, that kind of thing. But just for conversion rate, Google Analytics with e-commerce tracking enabled will give you what you need. And one thing about that is sometimes people wonder, okay, if somebody just lands on my site and does nothing and then leaves, does that count towards my conversion rate as somebody who visited but didn't convert? And the answer is, if they didn't do anything, no, they won't be considered it. That'll be considered a bounce contact, and they haven't actually initiated a session. So there needs to be a session in order for them to be qualifying for your conversion rate. But aside from that, yeah, it's basically just how many visitors you're having and compared to how many sales you're making per session.
And Christine, any thoughts on what people should look for when they're calculating their conversion rate or insights into using those analytics options to do so?
I think that if they want to get into more granular details with the conversion rates, like with the e-commerce events, I think it would be helpful to get the Google Analytics Pro version, because you could track the conversion rates throughout the entire purchasing flow instead of just on the order completed page. So you could also see things like how successful your coupons are and when people leave your checkout page and things like that.
Yeah, and I'll just make a little technical point based on what Christine said. One of the unique features about Google Analytics Pro is actually it sends the order completed event based on the WordPress admin action. So it happens in the admin area. And the reason that's better, typically with most e-commerce analytics plugins, it'll happen when the customer arrives on the order thank you page, which is like a page that they reach at the very end of their checkout. So they've reached that page, then it says, okay, that says to analytics, this order is complete. The reason that can be problematic is sometimes with certain payment gateways like PayPal, they take you off into a separate little pop-up window. So you go to this pop-up window and you complete your payment, and then PayPal gives you a notification that you've completed it. And then you as a customer, you're like, okay, we're done. And you never reach that order thank you page. So in that case, the merchant has missed out on that conversion because you never landed on the order thank you page. So with Google Analytics Pro, since that order will still make it into your WordPress admin and then you'll mark it as completed there, you would get that data as a completed sale. So it's a little bit of an improvement there with Analytics Pro compared to some other analytics options.
All right, the next basic strategy are just getting some better photos and better copy up on your site. As we talked about earlier, one of the features that people like most on e-commerce sites are good visuals and good content. So I know that we could write books and on how to improve these things, but do you have any quick tips that you would recommend to sites if they want to step up their photography or their copy on their website?
I definitely pay a lot more attention to the photos. Just from personal experience, say I want to buy a shoe, I want to see all sides of the shoes, like a 360 view. Or if it's like an Airbnb, I always choose the Airbnb with nicer photos versus the one with pixelated photos. Yeah, so I think definitely the photos for me I would focus on.
Yeah, I think product photos is definitely an area that's worth investing in. You can do it yourself, but if you do it yourself, what my suggestions would be, make sure that you are keeping your product placement area and your product ratio consistent. So really, you want all your product images to be the same ratio of height to width. So like either just square or some other ratio that's always going to be the same. And this is going to save you so much headache down the line, because when you upload your product images to an e-commerce platform like WooCommerce, if you have them in different ratios and you've got some really tall, skinny images and some short and fat images, your product grids, category pages are going to look out of alignment. There are some plugins that can help you fix that, but in most cases, it's going to cause a problem. So definitely investing in your product images and making them all consistent is a big plus.
It's a good idea. Yeah,
I think Ryan reminded me that consistent copy is a big plus too throughout your product pages. So for example, if you're selling portable batteries, I think it would be really helpful to have that copy be consistent if you have the specs laid out for each product in the same place, because when customers are comparing products, they're going to be looking at it in the same place.
I think that's something that people underrate, but in both cases, just having sort of a consistent feel helps to build the brand that you're presenting. And the final basic strategy we're going to talk about here is setting up cart abandonment emails. Obviously, setting up an email marketing platform is not basic. It can take some time. It's an effort, as easy as many of them are. However, Carta Bannerman emails are often the automated marketing email that we'll recommend to people to do first, because those can be extremely lucrative and shouldn't have too heavy of a lift to set up, with regardless of which email marketing platform you're using, whether you're using Automate Woo for your WooCommerce store or any of the others.
On the merchant side, add a coupon to your cart abandonment email. That always gets me, like a little coupon or a free shipping coupon, because usually that's why I abandon a cart, because the shipping cost is too high.
Our first suggestion when somebody was looking for to increase their conversion rate with their abandonment emails is to add a coupon. That's a big one, but that's not always possible. You know, the first step is definitely just to have it running. The second step is, don't overdo it. We suggest 3 emails over the course of 2 days. And the other thing is what you're talking about with respect to copy. This is an opportunity to start getting creative and to express your personality. It's really the way that we communicate with our customers in e-commerce is through email. It replaces that individual customer interaction that you have in a brick and mortar store. So make sure that you are putting your personal flavor and branding with respect to the copy and the images and the subject lines. Get creative and see what happens.
Great. Yeah. So get those cart abandonment emails up. As we've seen lots of studies over the years that a lot of people who abandon carts, in fact, do plan to return at some point. So if you have their email address and you can give them that nudge, it can be really valuable. All right. Let's move on to some of the more intermediate strategies. I want to talk about some of the premium WooCommerce extensions stores can use to improve their product pages, because improving product pages, again, plays a really big role in improving conversion rate. The first one is WooCommerce Tab Manager. And Christine, that kind of plays into what you were talking about consistency across your specs and the details you present. So would you like to talk a little bit about what you can do with WooCommerce Tab Manager?
Yeah, so with WooCommerce Tab Manager, you could organize your copy into different tabs. Let's say you're selling portable batteries again. You could have a tab for a description, and then a tab for the specs, and then a tab for the reviews. And you could just have that globally for all of your products. So when customers go to your site, they know exactly where to look for information to compare that information. And it also works really well, I think, for mobile shopping, because then customers could just, like, on their phone, just select a tab and see information easily.
That's a good one, Ryan. If you could talk a little bit about another extension, additional variation images, what people can do with that and why that can be useful for improving conversions.
Typically with WooCommerce, you're only able to add the single variation image. So sometimes, depending on your product setup, you may need multiple variation images for that specific variation. It's going to relate to the next one as well, the 360 images, and also to what Christine was saying about being able to see multiple views of the one that you want. So you might have a shoe that's in green, red, and blue. And if you're only offering that single image of the green shoe, maybe we can't get a good sense of it. It gives you that extra context that you can get a better idea of the product in that specific variation.
Just another step toward trying to narrow that gap as much as possible that's missing with e-commerce that people can get in-person shopping, of being able to, if they have a variation of a product at a store, they're actually going to be able to see the whole thing. With this, we can show them as much as we can. Like Ryan said, the next one we're going to talk about is 360-degree image. Christine, you had even brought this up when you're talking earlier. You want to talk a little bit about what you can do with the 360-degree image extension?
Yeah, it's similar to what you just said about recreating that experience of being in the store and seeing the actual product. So with the 360-degree image, you basically could have an image where the customer could see the product like in a 360 degrees, like a shoe. So it's really helpful to be able to see all sides of a product before you buy it.
If nothing else, the three of us could start one hell of a shoe store because we all seem to really know what people are looking for in terms of those images. All right. Let's talk about a few extensions now that could improve checkout flow. The first one is social login. Ryan, would you like to talk a little bit about the benefits of using social login to help improve your checkout flow and keep people from abandoning their carts?
Yeah, absolutely. So most of us have experienced this. You've got a site and it lets you log in with your Google account or your Yahoo account or something like that. So that's what social login. It adds those social media accounts so that you can use that connection to be able to log in. It It'll automatically link it also if you already have an account. So if I've already created one with my email address, so long as my social media account also uses that same address, it's going to be automatically linked. And it just saves that time of not having to remember your password or whatever. Just make it easy. It allows you to quickly log in, quickly create an account, and away you go. You're now ready to save your payment details or save your address information and save time checking out.
And since account creation is such a big cause of abandonment, making it much easier for people to create accounts, there's a survey that found more than 3/4 of people say they prefer to use social login to create an account during an e-commerce checkout than to actually have to come up with another username and another password to add to their infinite list of usernames and passwords.
I think it's important to have other options as well, like a guest checkout for those who don't want to use social login or create an account like me. So I think it would be helpful to have other options also as well as social login.
Another one to improve checkout flow is checkout fields editor. Christine, would you like to talk a little bit about what you can do with that and how it can improve your conversions?
That's the one where you could remove and add fields at checkout. So for me personally, when I go through a checkout flow that asks for too much information, sometimes I would abandon my cart because of that. Like, why do they need to know all this information? So I think it would be really helpful to remove fields that people don't need. Like, maybe you don't need the phone number, or if it's like a digital purchase, you don't need their address, things like that. That plugin will help with that, make the checkout flow a lot faster.
Absolutely. It's just about trying to streamline the process, because again, a long checkout process is another one of those big cart abandonment causes.
It reduces like your data liability also when you don't collect the information you don't need.
That's a good point, and that's extremely relevant and something that I think people don't always think as much about. But yeah, if there's a data breach and you don't have everyone's phone number, that saves at least one headache for all of your customers. And then another thing to improve checkout flow are using some payment gateway extensions to offer multiple ways for people to pay.
I think that the primary thing that comes down to the choice of a payment gateway is on the merchant side. So like, they should be picking the one that works for their business in terms of their banking and the transaction rate that they're willing to take on and all that sort of thing. But if there is a customer's side point of it as well, generally something that is embedded within the page and doesn't take them off the page will perform better. So the customer is filling in all their checkout details on the single page, and then they submit their checkout and their payments complete, rather than some other plugins which we've talked about or extensions. PayPal with Dutch, which does take you away. I mean, the advantage there is that people know and trust PayPal, even though they're taking you away from the checkout page. They trust it in that way, but generally something that's embedded within the checkout page will offer the best experience from the customer standpoint, and all those nice features that Sam talked about in terms of autofilling or a smooth experience or something that just feels trustworthy is also something to think about when choosing a gateway.
I agree with everything Ryan said about probably the best option is for it to be embedded in the checkout page, so the customer doesn't get confused with having to move on to another page to make a payment, unless it's something like PayPal Pay or Amazon Pay, name that they're comfortable with already.
I like the embedded gateways as well. All right, something we wanted to talk about, and I could go either way on whether this improves conversion rate, but I think it would be curious, and I think it's something that people will wonder about. So Christine, you and I have been talking a little bit about using the checkout add-ons extension, and that's where you can offer people upsells or cross-sells right there at the checkout. So when someone's checking out, they could add, say, gift wrapping to their order, or buy insurance, something like that. Do you think that doing something like that will improve the conversion rate? Because it's, oh, they're giving me this great extra service, it gives me more peace of mind, I wanted this gift wrapped. Or is it another step that might slow people down, or maybe even turn people off that they're being hit with something? So do you think that's ultimately going to be beneficial for conversion rate, or could it also have a negative effect?
It depends on what you're selling. If you have checkout add-ons on every single product, even when it's not relevant, then that would probably not improve your checkout flow. But if it's a product that needs a checkout add-on, then that could help. So I think there's a time and place for it. And if people are intentional about it, I think it could help with the checkout process. It is an extra step, but if it's providing something extra for the customer that they needed, let's say gift wrapping, then maybe that would be helpful.
Yeah, I think it certainly could be on a case-by-case basis. Take, for instance, some kind of product insurance. Let's say you're selling a product that people are really worried about it breaking, and they want that reassurance that if something does happen, that they can get it fixed. So I think cases like that could help to address some people's concerns and ultimately lead to a completed sale, whereas without it, perhaps not.
One more thing in this section. Christine, we had talked also about giving people the option to save products for later or creating wish lists. And could you speak a little bit about how you think that could help with conversion rates and how someone might go about implementing that in their e-commerce sites?
Yeah, so I think that could help, especially if people are researching products and stuff on different devices. So let's say I'm on my phone and I'm looking at something, but I want to buy it on my computer. I could save that for later in my cart or add it to a wish list. And I could go on my computer and then go back to my cart and see that it's there. So I think it gives people an option to decide later and not forget about it. I think that combined with abandoned cart would probably be really helpful. And how they could implement it on their site is, I don't have a preference for any particular plugin, but people could go onto WooCommerce.com and search for a plugin like saved for later or save now, buy later, or wishlist, like those keywords. And there's a lot of plugins that will come up and that they can add to their WooCommerce site.
I'm a fan of wish lists, especially when it comes to like digital products. Like personally, when I'm thinking about buying video games or things like that, I'll use the wish list functionality a lot so that what I'd be looking for in an extension, and I'm not sure if they all do this though, is to be notified if the wish list plugin goes on sale or something. So when I'm adding it to the wish list, I'm saying I want this, but I want it basically when I can get it for a little bit less. I am seeing here that there's a WooCommerce wish list, which is an official WooCommerce.com marketplace extension. That would be a good place to start if you're thinking about adding wish lists functionality to your site.
All right, let's talk a little bit about some advanced techniques. Now, we've talked about some extensions people can use to improve their conversion rates, just general tactics around the site. So let's talk about now you're going pretty well. You've improved your conversion rate. Let's fine tune it. The first thing I want to talk about, and obviously we can't cover the entirety of this topic, but just how to do a little bit of A-B testing and experimentation.
It's definitely a tricky thing because basically conversion rate is such a general statistic. Anything and everything is contributing to it. Definitely make sure you have an analytics strategy in place. So we talked about this at the beginning. Make sure you have that you're getting the conversion rate data and that you can measure it, measure the effectiveness. And then I'd say make sure you implement one change at a time. Like for instance, maybe a big one is adding abandoned cart recovery. Jot down when you activated that feature and monitor your conversion rate over the next, let's say, 3 weeks and see has it had an effective impact on your conversion rate.
And the other advanced technique I want to talk about is getting product reviews to work even more for you. Now, obviously, the WooCommerce core comes with a fairly robust review system built in, but there is a WooCommerce extension called Product Reviews Pro, which you can use to add more full-featured reviews to your site in terms of improving conversion rate, is with Product Reviews Pro, you can ask targeted questions in your reviews to get people to provide information. So let's say if you have a fashion site, you can prompt people in their reviews to say how a product fit. Was it big? Was it loose? And that can give extra guidance. People can also share photos with Product Reviews Pro, which is also very helpful.
I think something that would be really helpful would be to make adding reviews easier for the customers. So you might want to send them like a follow-up email after their purchase and ask them to write a review. And don't ask for too much personal information during the review. Don't ask for their name and address if you don't need it. So I think just reducing the friction it takes to add a review so you could get more reviews.
That's great. And I agree completely. Like reviews are obviously a favor that someone's doing for you. So what's the right amount to ask them without imposing on them? That's a really good place.
Yeah, definitely. And what Christine's talking about, but bridging that gap of getting more reviews and that it is a challenge. Like I talked about at the beginning, I'm not someone who leaves a review. So typically, so it would be a hard sell. Social login will allow you to quickly log in if you require people to have a verified purchase and log into their account or to leave a review, which is not a requirement, but is a good idea so that you can know for sure that person actually purchased the product. The other thing that is an interesting consideration is there is the automated email option, which Christine talked about. If you're a small business, maybe it's worth in those early stages sending personalized emails, or at least in those cases where you have had a personal interaction, maybe somebody had an interaction with you, checked up on their order or something. If it goes well, maybe it's worth sending that personal email, especially at the early stages of your business where you don't have to do it on like a huge scale. That personal ask can have a lot better chance of actually getting a review. And then once you reach sort of a threshold of certain number of reviews, you know, it's more likely that more people will actually add them in because they see other people have. Getting past that first review, that's a challenge.
Not send an automated email with a review request, manually sending an email.
Yeah, it could be both. You want to be careful about that, but it could be both. But yeah, in the early stages, maybe just a manual email. Like if the scale of your orders isn't like extreme yet and you're getting started with your business, that personal interaction can go a long way. And when you've done a good job for someone, they're going to be happy to leave a review, especially if they have that personal connection with you.
All right. I hope those strategies come in handy for you. Right now, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back to answer some of your questions.
It's time to get your clients selling online in less time and for less money with GoDaddy Hosting. Learn more at GoDaddy.com.
We are back with our question and answer portion of the day. What are the best ways to keep a WooCommerce site secure? I know this is a robust topic again, but any thoughts on some quick security measures someone can take, or the best security measures?
Yeah, this is a very big topic because it spans a lot of things. Like it could be like your hosting company also. And then what kind of gateway plugins do you have? And specifically, what do you want to secure against? But I guess I'll just speak specifically to the payment process and gateway security. There's WooCommerce plugins on WooCommerce.com that you could install on your site, like the CAPTCHA plugins. And there's also Honeypot plugins, which installs like an invisible field on your site. And then if there's like a bot trying to make fraudulent transactions, it would fill out those invisible fields and then the honeypot would stop them. But I also think it's really important for merchants, if they're using like a payment processor, to secure their merchant account with certain transaction filters, address filters or velocity filters, IP addresses filters, things like that. Some of those things are included in our plugins, but a lot of it, they have to enable that on the merchant account side also.
I'll talk a little bit about just the WordPress site security in general. First thing, make sure you're using a secure password. Enable two-factor authentication. There's a few options in order to do that. Don't have more than one administrator account. So we're limited it to as few as possible. So limit the number of administrator accounts that you have on your site. And delete any plugins that you aren't using. So even if they're deactivated, it's better not to have them. Any of that excess code can potentially bring a vulnerability. Those would be my four tips. And then next steps are you can get security plugins like Security or some other options and enable that, which can help to alert you if something bad is happening on your site and you can lock it down.
And our next question, what signs should I look for that it's time to stop handling fulfillment in-house and switch to a third-party logistics company?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I think that's an individual business question, but if you're at the point where you're spending the majority of your time just doing fulfillment, I think it's time to start looking at a third-party solution, because that means your business has grown to the point where it's getting enough traffic and enough orders that you need to be focusing on your site, running that side of the business. And it's a good idea to start looking to a third-party fulfillment center or option at that point.
Christine, any thoughts on when the right moment is to start outsourcing your fulfillment?
Basically what Ryan said, when they get to the point where they're spending most of their time doing that, when maybe they should be focusing on growing their business. Also, if they find that the plugins they're using are not fulfilling their needs anymore, then it's probably time to move on to something bigger.
Yeah, I would say that's right. I briefly ran an e-commerce business and we did all the fulfillment ourselves and kept waiting for that day that was going to come when we were getting so many orders that it was time to outsource them. And what? Never came. The day just never came. But I've got a whole lot of boxes in a warehouse about 10 miles from me if anyone's interested in buying them. All right. Well, that will do it for our episode on conversion rate. We hope you get a lot from this. I'd like to thank Ryan Frizzell and Christine Fu for all of your great insights. If you'd like to submit questions for future Q&As or check out all the extensions which we've discussed here today, they will be in the show notes. Many of the extensions we've talked about today are available in the GoDaddy managed WordPress e-commerce hosting package. They come with it. It comes with nearly $6,000 worth of free premium extensions, along with a number of other things like a free domain and SSL and a streamlined setup. So if you're looking for new hosting, take a look at that. Ryan, Christine, any last words to everybody listening to who's made it this far into our podcast?
Remember to keep your plugins and themes up to date.
Yes. I agree.
All right. And you know what? I'll give a third vote for that. Keep your plugins and themes up to date. And we look forward to talking to you again soon.